Good morning to our friend Jason Cans from jasoncans.com, author of Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus, delving into John 13 through 17. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. You said you told me that you watched the Rocket Man movie, Elton John, last night. Now, you've seen that before, right?
No, I saw Bohemian Rhapsody, but I haven't seen Rocket Man before.
Okay, you saw it for the first time. So give me your quick movie review.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's going to be for everyone. It's set up as a musical, but I think what I really appreciated about it was the ways in which his childhood seemed to have a strong impact on particularly the development of addiction later in his life and how he worked to reconcile that. And I thought it was a magnificent movie.
Interesting. One note in history today for women. 1873, Susan B. Anthony was fined. Why was she fined? She was fined $100, which back then had to be a lot, right? 1873.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, she was fined $100. You know what she tried to do? She attempted to vote. She attempted to vote. Actually, this is the fine was delved out in 1873, but in the 1872 election. Now, I don't know. Is this like Barbara Streisand and Yentl? Did she dress up like a man to try to vote? Probably, huh?
Yeah, I would think so. And you would wonder if she was somewhat of a public figure by that point and more recognizable. I don't know. There's a lot of questions around that, I would think.
Now, women didn't get the right to vote. That came like close to 1920, something like that, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's hard to believe that was, you know, only 100 years ago.
And it took, look at how long it took, though, from 1872. Although, that's a long time.
Yeah. Well, I think changes... often are those cultural changes are often somewhat glacial. You know, we want them to happen today, but they take time. So.
And we take it for granted, though. I mean, nowadays, right? You take it for granted. Yeah. Of course, women, like more women vote than men. And so there are more of them, but more of them vote. All right. Jason, let's go back to Notes from the Upper Room, the devotionals this morning. We're into John 14, exactly where?
Yeah, we're at 14, verse 15, which says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so he wrote, "Sometimes when I think about Jesus and what he accomplished on my behalf through his life, death, and resurrection, I forget that he also called me to a certain way of life. Several times in the upper room, he circled back to his commandments. It's true that Jesus fulfilled the law and that as Christians we are no longer under the old way of the written code, but we live by the new way of the Spirit." It says that in Romans 7. Yet Jesus still talked about a way to live. His commandment is to love. He asks us to love God fully and to love others like he did. Does loving like Jesus ever feel impossible to you? It does to me. I cannot make it through my morning coffee loving God and others in the way I have been loved by him. So does my failure to love perfectly mean that I should question my salvation? No. Rather, I believe Jesus was telling his followers, "Look, I've come to show you the best way to live. Life in my kingdom is radically different from the life you have been living. Become a conduit of my grace and engage in true other-centered living." There you go.
Well, that's what it's about. Yeah, other-centered. From self-obsessed and self-centered to God-obsessed and other-centered. That's the path. That's the direction. That's what we're called to.
That's still one of my favorite things that I've heard you say, is that notion of moving from self and self to God and others.
Well, and the theme song for the first one, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Magnificent Obsession. For the second one, there was a guy named Philip Sandifer did a song called Others, and I love the story behind that. William Booth, Salvation Army founder, had a speaking engagement he couldn't make it to, and he sends a note, and it's like, "Read this in my absence," and ultimately, one word, others. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. It's a challenge, but I think it's something that we, you know, continue to strive for.
Uh-huh.
Particularly when there's increased division, you know, that call to loving well, I think we have to wrestle with daily.
Finally, I think you're slated to be in the pulpit at church in a couple of weeks for Acts chapter 5. Is that right?
I am. You know, that's an interesting chapter. It's where... the couple that, I can't remember the names right off the top of my head, normally that'd be fine, but they, they sell their, some of their land, and they keep back some of the profits, and they both fall over dead. And I was really wrestling with that as I was working through it, and, you know, how do we understand a loving God when this is happening? And so I'm going to try and take look at it with fresh eyes and see what we can discover.
Ananias and Sapphira.
There we go. Yeah. Yep, thank you.
And guess what? I signed up, I think, on Tuesday night. I said, hey, I'll take Acts 4. So back-to-back, look out, people, Halvo and Cans, back-to-back weekends. So, all right, love you, buddy. Yeah, hopefully see you later this morning, right?
Sounds good. You bet.
See you then. All right, for coffee at Randy's today. Well, speaking of Magnificent Obsession, how about that tune this morning? Yeah, dear Lord, Holy Spirit, transform us on the inside from self-obsessed, self-centered sinners to God-obsessed, other-centered saints. WWIB and Wib.com. So Hillary had told me yesterday, she's just like, I don't know if I'll make it in by first cup. I'm like, that's fine.
Because I'm caregiving for my dad, you know, so there's that. And I was thinking.
So she's here at 6:15.
I know.
What time did you get awakened? Like 3 in the morning? 3:30?
Well, I mean, multiple times. Like, I don't know, 12:30. And then I was up again from like, and that was just a, are you okay? Because he was due for me. And I was up for a good stretch then. And then again at like 4:30. It's multiple times. It's fine. But yes, it got to, and I was thinking I wouldn't be on time because normally, you know, I get up in the morning and I get ready and stuff. And now, you know, I have to help dad with some things before I leave the house. And yesterday I was kind of hard pressed to get here. So I thought, oh, this, you know, but this morning, no, we were up and taking care of things early enough, like ice and pain meds, that I was like, okay, I'm either going back to bed and taking the day off, or I'm just staying up and going to get to work around my regular time. So that is what I did.
Well, here you are.
Yes. And it's all good. I love my dad. And I'm so thankful that, you know, he can be with us and he can help us. And I have to say, he had a knee replacement 10 years ago. And this is so much easier than it was 10 years ago, because 10 years ago, I had a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old that I was taking care of as well. And now they're 13 and 15. And so they can make their own lunch. And by the way, make grandpa lunch, too.
Yeah, that's great. Well, 10 years. Okay, so 10 years is that last one. I mean, it was the partial. It didn't
last
forever. It was
2 years ago. No,
oh, that was 2 years
his
ago.
Right knee was 10 years ago.
Gotcha.
And then 2 years ago, he had a partial of his left knee. And now he's had a full of his left knee.
Now I get the full picture.
Yes. This ain't our first rodeo.
All right.
Hey, we have some other stuff in there,
special
too.
Events. And I don't know. We're kind of, for fun, we're adding the number for the day.
Yeah,
so we'll
why
get
not?
To that. But it is Cheesemaker's Day.
Oh, delicious. Let's go eat Marika Gouda, worldwide winning. Picnic day. Let's eat some cheese.
It's recess at work day. So
every day is recess at work day for us.
If you
isn't
work
it?
Radio.
It is sushi day.
Delicious.
Delicious.
And it's Autistic Pride Day today.
Oh.
The number for the day is 215. Why would I cite that, Hillary?
Because it's the most pair of underwear worn at the same time. Record was set by then 10-year-old in Alabama.
That is just crazy. You know,
I know some kids, you can't get them to wear one pair. Now you got this kid wearing 215.
I mean, forget getting them on. Like, where did he get access to that many?
They had to have started really small and gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. Because that's a lot
Mom,
of underwear.
Mom, I've only got 60 pair of underwear. You need to buy 140
How many pair
more?
Do you need?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That is one crazy record.
That's fantastic. That brought joy to my morning.
There we go. And that's our aim.
So challenge yourself today, friends. How many pair can you wear?
Wow. The new whip promotion.
It.
Thank you, Hillary.
Thank you.
On this date in 1995, Newsweek.
Going back a few years.
25 years ago when I was about an 8-year-old lad.
I was a junior going into my senior year of high school.
I was 31.
Well, Newsweek printed an article about the World Wide Web, about the internet in their magazine.
Okay.
They said, quote, "We're promised instant catalog shopping. Just point and click for great deals. We'll order airline tickets over the network, make restaurant reservations, and negotiate sales contracts. Stores will become obsolete. So how come my local mall does more business in an afternoon than the entire internet handles in a month?" This was 1995 from Newsweek. Again, they continue, "Even if there were a trustworthy way to send money over the internet, which there isn't, the network is missing a most essential ingredient of capitalism, salespeople."
Huh.
Hello, everyone who started a pyramid scheme on Facebook. Just waving at you now. granted, okay, and again, this article continues in 1995. The internet was much
was
more messy and Wild West than...
Yeah.
Well, not more Wild West than it is now.
Yeah, it's pretty Wild West out there now. It's interesting, though, because they were really thinking this is going to be a failure. But, all of those things have happened now. Yeah, and I have done all of those. I have bought airline tickets and made restaurant reservations. And
a lot of us have done all those things in the last week or two.
Yeah.
Never doubt futuristic predictions. I mean, it can... You've got to just think outside the box, right?
Right.
In terms of envisioning what's possible.
It makes you wonder, like, as fast as things are, where will we be in 25 years?
Ooh. It just moves so quickly. And the thing is, we can say, ha-ha, you guys didn't know what was going to happen. But really, do any of us, even Bill Gates, right?
Right.
Founder of Microsoft and all, you know, I think he said, you know, wow, well, 256 should be good for anybody. It's like, that should be fast enough. That should be fine.
No.
So, 25 years ago, it's like, will this internet thing really stick around?
Like, no one had email 25 years. Very few people had email 25 years ago. And I remember there were still computer labs in my high school where it was like, whoa, you're doing what? You're what?
And the thing is, like, I still remember when I actually had to check my email. You still use that terminology, or I'm going to
check my email.
Now it just pops
pings
up
onto my phone.
On my phone. But before, it's like I had to log on, make sure no one else was on the phone as I got into my Juno email, so they wouldn't dump
me
off.
I loved that sound. 45 seconds. I remember it would take 45 seconds just to sign on.
And then it would just be spam.
Yeah.
The classic futuristic predictor in animation had to be the Jetsons, right?
Yes!
When will we achieve some of those accomplishments?
I love the Jetsons.
What is something that your husband or wifey has asked of you that you did not want to do, that you did anyway out of love for them? A story comes from Jackson, Michigan. Hillary's already like, I've got something for this.
Okay, you go first.
So here's the preface of this. Saw this in the news. A man rescued 9 ducklings trapped in a storm drain because his fiance asked him to.
Huh.
So Monica said her mail carrier alerted her there were ducklings crying out from a sewer. So she called her fiance Kyle and said, hey,
Kyle,
my love, climb down in there. So Kyle removes the manhole cover with the help of a neighbor, climbs down into the sewer.
Oh, good.
He said,
good man.
It smelled pretty bad, but he rescued all 9 ducklings. So again, that's a great thing to do. Wonderful man. But did he do that because of his own volition or because his fiance, his love, said, hey, I want you to do this?
Save
the
baby.
He showed
ducks.
His love for her.
Which
Absolutely.
Begs the question, how many other things that we don't want to do,
See?
Do we do out of love?
That makes Dean really, I mean, come on, babe, it's not that bad. Last night I was helping get my dad into bed.
Here, I thought you were going to say something that you did for him.
Oh, no. So I'm helping my dad get into bed and all of that, and because he just had surgery, he has to wear those, like, compression stockings, the Ted hose. I handed them to my husband and said, hey, could you wash these in the sink for me? He was not as excited, but yet he went in the bathroom and he washed his father-in-law's compression stockings for his wife because I just really wanted to go to bed.
True love.
That is true love. But see, I mean, that's no sewer, babe. He's good. He's golden.
I would love to hear on the listen line at 715-396-1670 something you have done for your spouse, something they have done for you that you asked of them. I'd be curious. Maybe, you know, because not everything's pleasant.
No.
And I need to do it. For instance, I despise washing dishes by hand. I just hate it. But I need to do it more often for my wife. And the thing is, right now, whenever I do, it's kind of the pleasant surprise type of thing for her. And it's like, this really should be far more regular. Like, you should not be surprised that I wash the dishes.
Right.
So, but there's just things like that that perhaps, just speaking inwardly to myself, it's like, gotta do better.
Yeah, no. Dean and I do a lot of those things for each other that we just
do. The first thing that came to mind was picking up the dog droppings in the backyard.
Yes.
I mean, it's just kind of it's become a task of humbling. It is humble all the way, and yet, you know, we've got 2 dogs, so there's a good amount. And
getting
so,
out there
but
with
it's one of those
scooper.
Tasks I'm embracing. My wife's not necessarily somebody else, maybe. We thought was going to be more active in that process. Hey, here is something. Pepin County planning a drive-through dairy breakfast.
Right on, Pepin.
Following the drive-through graduation, Pepin County gearing up for the 32nd annual dairy breakfast on Saturday, but this year it's going to be a drive-through from 7:30 to 10 in the morning. You can stop by O'Galley Cheese or Compto Sales and Service in Durand, get your breakfast bag, and then you can take home the prepackaged food to enjoy your dairy breakfast at home.
Nicely done.
Nice.
Why didn't other places do this?
This is a great idea.
It is a great idea. And so it contains pancake mix, a gallon of milk, cheese curd, sausage, pudding, real maple syrup, Go-Gurt, a pound of butter, and chocolate milkman.
Wow.
I'm all for that.
So terrific deal there going on. All right, trying to figure things out here. Halvo running the board at WWIB, and we kind of rotated. And so this is something, you know, I had been intending to ask today, like to dads and say, what do you love about being a dad? But then all of a sudden I saw this suggestion from a service that we subscribe to, which was, what advice do you remember from your dad? And Caleb, you've kind of morphed it into, what sayings do you remember from your dad, right?
Yeah, because it could be advice or it's like, what's something your dad always says or said?
So any contributions, anything come to mind for people?
Oh, goodness. So a lot of different things. I mean, and again, from the funny side of, you know, better than a sharp stick in the eye.
Yeah.
I remember that one a lot. But also one thing my dad said a lot was, don't ask for what's fair. And it wasn't necessarily a warning as much as it was an admonition of, hey, you know, sometimes you plead for fairness and you have this, you know, intrinsic sense of justice. But you know what? If you really ask for what's fair and think about it in spiritual terms, too, if we ask God for what we deserve, we wouldn't like those consequences. And so something that rings in my head from time to time in my dad's voice is, don't ask for what's fair.
Yeah. My dad, one of his favorite sayings, get your hoof off the table. Get your hoof off the table. Yeah, our feet were called hooves, and they were told to get off a great number of things. Get your hoof off the couch. Get your hoof off the table. But the best advice, I think, is, you know, laugh at yourself because you are the funniest person you know. Because only you know all of the stupid, weird things that you have accidentally done. So laugh at yourself more than
anything
else.
I feel like you've taken that advice to heart in a big way.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, honestly, that's part of the charm you bring to the show each day, too. So
Very nice.
Yeah, it's funny because just yesterday, I think I read somebody said, you know, take your job seriously, but not yourself.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that is good advice.
Yeah.
My dad, a variety of things. I mean, and balancing it out. He would say, better safe than sorry, but he'd also say, no guts, no glory. And we'd say that about life, but we'd say it as we watched the Packers in football.
Right.
Which many times in those days were not so great. And so we celebrated together when they were good. The other big thing was his dad died when he was 15. He was the youngest of nine kids, and he dropped out of high school and always regretted that. He was really smart. He would sometimes drop facts. He loved to do crossword puzzles, and he'd say, just another fact from Big Al's Almanac. And he was only about 5'11", so he wasn't that tall. But he really wanted me to graduate from college.
Yeah.
And so, and I remember getting the card when I finally did, and he's just like one of the happiest days of my life. So good memories. So, Caleb, your dad, and Hillary, your dad, are still with you. And I know Father's Day's on Sunday, but I would love to have that experience again. So, you know, bless him.
Well,
give him hugs. And
you know, right now my dad's really with me because he's like living at my house while I take care of him post-surgically. So, I mean, if you want to borrow him, I'm happy to drop him off for a couple of days.
I may take you up on that.
Grandpa Wayne.
I love you, Dad.
Hey, so what about some other folks? What's the best advice that they remember getting from their dad? Here's some samples.
Advice that my dad always gave me was lying is the same as stealing. Whenever we tried telling little white lies as kids, he goes, you know, lying is the same as stealing.
My father always said what you want now and what you want 10 years from now is going to be two totally different things.
Nice.
So, true. Both very good.
Those are some starters. We could maybe continue this, you know, the rest of today and into tomorrow, the listener line. What's the best advice or saying you remember from your dad? 715-396-1670, 396-1670.
We've talked about the thermostat debate before. This is particularly a fall and winter subject because I know Hillary at the Roth household.
Keep it cold.
Yeah, keep it pretty cold there. And I tend to...
we put it to 60, but I always remember the Roths are at 59.
Right.
Have to be a little bit better.
We win.
I'm trying to remember what we did. I want to say it was 62, 63 or something. It's like, I can't go down that far. But according to Energy Star, of course, the federal government program, when we're talking about this time of year, they recommend keeping your home at 78 degrees when you are home and awake.
Huh.
78 degrees. And again, efficiency, energy savings, etc. Now, ready for the really crazy part? They say you should keep your home at 85 degrees when you're at work. Makes sense. Fine.
Okay.
82 degrees when you're sleeping.
Oh.
82 degrees. Hmm. Honestly, that's what I want.
I was going to say, we actually have our house cool more at night to help us sleep.
78 during the day you're at home, 82 when you're sleeping.
You're going to be shocked by this because it's not penny pinching. At night, we go down to 72.
Extravagant.
I know. But here's the thing, because Dean's been working outside, and he works outside in the hot heat, you know?
Yeah.
In the hot heat. And so when he comes home, he's like, I've been hot all day. Uh-huh. I don't want to be hot in my home. So we hover around 75 during the day and 72 in the overnight.
And here's the thing. We just had an ad for comfort heating and cooling. I get energy savings. I absolutely do in cost savings. And that's usually where I'm kind of driving the bus of let's, you know, set it higher or lower or whatever. But comfort, there's something to be said for feeling comfortable in your own home when you actually walk in and and you say, hey, it's nice to be here.
What do you guys do?
Well, let's see. We have some window air conditioners in multiple rooms. And so you try to maybe shield the sun from coming in using fans.
Yeah, and we do that.
But my awesome wife did last year at the end of the season, was able to get a window air conditioner that we just put in. She put in yesterday in our room.
Nice.
And so, you know, it's interesting. Like, it had this eco setting where it kind of gets it to the temperature, and then it'll go off until it needs to go on again.
Nice.
Sure.
So, yeah, that was so. But we had it probably around 75, 76 last night. The thing is, going to my other job at OneSource, and we got the a new air conditioning system last year. And as I found the upper 70s can still help you quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it might sound warm comparatively.
Yeah. But and I think it depends. Like, if you're just sitting at a desk job kind of thing, it's not so bad. If you're like up and moving and working and doing stuff, then it's feeling a little warmer, you know?
I know Lindsay and I did kind of a joint workout last night. It's like, wow, it's hot in here afterwards.
So, right.
Oh, goodness.
Some warm days, but we're going to get some relief from some showers tonight. Mm-hmm. So,
hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.